we're back, this time with Peter Biskind. Welcome, Peter.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
This is almost an annual visit, I'll say.
It is an annual.
You've been here several times
before.
Yes, it is an annual visit.
He says
visit.
That he's here once a year, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Like a robin or something. Every year when the film festival comes around, there I am, a little worm in my mouth.
The film festival we're referring to, Peter, is the executive director of Film Columbia.
Is correct.
I have that correct. And also, he has other credits. He is an author and film historian. Has several books on his list of accomplishments, and the contributing editor at Vanity Fair, and past executive editor of Premier Magazine.
Hmm.
And now he spends his time traveling around part of his time anyway, to film festivals all over the world to find us really interesting films to be shown here in Chatham and Hudson.
And Hudson. Don't forget Hudson.
I wouldn't. It's hard to forget it.
We are in it, after all.
So what are the dates of the film festival, first of all?
Well, this year it's our longest festival. We're going to seven days. We're starting on Monday evening, the 19th of October, and running through Sunday the 25th.
Wow.
Wow, all it's right. 7 days?
Yep.
Too many good films. You couldn't.
We couldn't turn them down. I know it was raining good films, and you can't really turn down a good film if you get the opportunity to show it. So, the festival just keeps getting longer and longer.
Yeah, the press release that I saw sounds really, really interesting, and it makes me want to rush and get tickets immediately because they're going to go fast, I think.
Well, they do go fast, and you do have to get them right away because especially the all-film passes go very quickly because they're such a bargain. I was shocked to see that I went online to look at the New York Film Festival, and the top-rated all-film pass costs, guess?
$150?
$20,000.
What?
What?
And our all film passes, I forget exactly how much they cost, but they're like $250 or $300.
I'm really underpricing.
So yes, so I mean it's a huge bargain, and we have many of the films that are shown at the New York Film Festival. So, instead of going there and paying through the nose, just come here.
That's right. It's worth a trip.
Exactly.
And do you need to travel between Chatham and Hudson a lot to get to see, well, not all the films, but...
Well, I've seen a bunch of the films before the festival, of course, and also we have a team. You know, I'm not the only person doing this. Mm-hmm. So Calliope Nicholas, the festival director, and Larry Cardish, who's my co-programmer, and some of the officers of the film club, Fred Ulrich. We take turns introducing films and going back and forth between Chatham and Hudson.
I see that Larry Cardish, who used to be the curator for film and media at the Museum of Modern Art in New York,
right.
is now called the senior curator emeritus. I knew him when he was a curator, so I don't know how.
Well,
that
he
was
goes,
a long time ago,
he
I guess.
He goes to the festivals. You know, I just sit in my office and, you know... read the reviews. But Larry goes to almost, you know, he's constantly going to traveling to festivals. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing. So he has seen almost every single film that we've that we're showing.
Mm. He's a movie fan, film fan. So
also a fan of foreign travel, I might add.
So it says here that some of the films have been seen at Cannes. Is that how it's pronounced?
Well, it's the American pronunciation, which most people use.
Instead of Cannes.
You want to be pretentious, yes. I think it's like French pronunciation.
Toronto, Berlin, New York, and Sundance are the most well-known.
Sundance. Yeah,
Telluride. Yes. Telluride also.
Aha, I've been to the Telluride Festival. Sundance is in Utah.
Right.
I believe isn't there a Sundance in California too, or no?
No. I don't think there is. They have an office in L.A., but I don't think there's a festival. There's nothing there.
But they're producing films a little bit, aren't they, Sundance?
Well, they are producing films, yes. They started doing that on a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I believe my uncle was in the Sundance Film Festival, I think.
Who's your uncle?
He owns a couple of Gold's Gyms, mm-hmm. Bruce Ebel.
Ebel, E-B-E-L.
He made some videos for his... gyms, and yeah, he entered in the Sundance Film Festival, I guess. Oh, I don't know how that works, but.
Well, so tell us what we are to expect at the film festival.
Well, we have a really interesting lineup this year with films from all over the world. You know, a lot of films from India for the first time. I guess you could say fewer films from Europe. But it's becoming a very, very international festival. We have a film from Iran called Taxi, which is supposed to be very good. The filmmaker was actually banned from making films in Iran and had to smuggle his films out of the country in little flash drives. That film has played several festivals, and essentially it's about a cab driver talking to his customers about the current state of Iranian society. It's very, very good. The evening films, we're starting with a film called Mia Madre with John Turturro, which is a comedy / drama from Italy. We also have, I guess, the most prominent film that we have this year is called Truth with Robert Redford and Cate Blanchett, which is based on the Dan Rather scandal, where they aired a story claiming that George W. Bush II, essentially evaded the draft in Vietnam by going into the National Guard and then didn't even fulfill his National Guard service. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that the story may very well have been badly sourced, and they had to recant, and he was fired, lost his job over it. And it was based on the producer of that report was named Mary Mapes, and she wrote a book about it in which she still claims that, in fact, the story is true, and nobody's ever really gotten to the bottom of it. But it cost Rather his job, and it created quite a stir when it happened. And so this is a film about that. Redford plays Dan Rather.
Robert Redford plays.
Yeah, and Cate Blanchett plays Mary Mapes. So it's a very, very good film, and it's probably the most prominent film that we have this year. And that's Friday night, the 24th.
Do you have... a sneak peek film this year?
Yes, we do, but I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to say what it is. It's frustrating.
Good try,
I thought we
Alan.
Might
good
catch
try.
Him on an
well,
off moment.
I know. Well, it's frustrating for me because it's also a very good film, and I'd like to be able to advertise it, but I can't. So it defeats the whole purpose.
Do we get a hint?
No.
No hints.
Darn.
Well, I'm really interested in this film called The Lady in the Van. It says a screen adaptation of Alan Bennett's short story about a woman who's lived in a van in his driveway for 15 years.
Whoa. Yes, with Maggie Smith. I have not seen that film. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
But she was quite the eccentric, as you might imagine. And the film is about her.
Is it based on a true story?
Yes, apparently it is, yeah.
Alan Bennett's driveway this actually occurred?
In London, yeah.
In London?
Yeah, he wrote a short story, he wrote a play. I mean, he's really milked it for all it's worth.
Well, that is intriguing, I think. What else?
Well, let's see. Aside from that, we have a film called 45 Years with Charlotte Rampling and Tom Courtney, which is a kind of, a film about a marriage shaken up by an event that occurs. It's some things that emerge unexpectedly and shake the marriage to its foundation. And that also has been very, very well received at several film festivals. So I'm very happy to get that film.
When do tickets go on sale? Because this is all sounding so great.
Well, we're a little bit late this year because all the other festivals were late. And the way the programming works, you know, producers don't like to commit to festivals until they have distributors, because distributors usually make the decisions about which festivals will be the film will go to or not. And a lot of producers pick up their distributors at the Toronto Film Festival, and that's late this year. So we sort of got squeezed at the very tail end of this, and the tickets go on sale the end of this month, the beginning of next month.
It says that if you are a member of the Chatham Film Club, from which this all is generated, the members can start buying tickets on October 9th, and the general public, it's a later date, apparently.
Right. Well, the members of the film club get a foot up on it, because there's such a rush for tickets,
right,
that it's one of the benefits we offer for membership.
Right. And so you can join the film club right now.
Have that advantage.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
you just go to the website, and it's very easy to join. It's just
filmcolumbia.org, right?
Right.
And do you have workshops and lectures and things going on? You usually do.
We have a few. Scott Cohn, who's an actor, who's in at least one of the... I think he's in actually two of the films that we're showing here. One of the films that we're showing in Hudson called Jack of the Red Hearts, which is a terrific film, also starring Famke Janssen, about an autistic child. It sounds a little bit... intense, and it is intense, but it's very entertaining. You know, it's not a grim story about the kind of film that the film version of eating your oatmeal. It's not like that at all. And that's playing both at the Crandall and in Hudson.
So what are the venues that that you have now?
Well, we have two venues in Chatham, the Crandall Theater and the Morris Auditorium, right next to it. And for the first time this year, we're showing some films at the Hudson Opera House.
Here in Hudson.
Here, one program of children's films, international children's films, and the rest of the films are being shown at the Hudson Lodge, which is in this really fascinating building on Union Street.
At 6th Street, right?
About 6th Street, right.
Used to be the Elks Club.
Right. It's one of those buildings that, has turrets and, hidden rooms and, looks like a Charles
but
Adams.
But you don't have to go find a room in order to see the film.
No, there's a big auditorium, or a big space, and we use that. It seats about 150 people, and there's plenty of parking.
There's a municipal lot right next door.
Yeah, and there's parking behind it, and on both sides of it and behind it.
Yeah. Well,
and we have a party at the Red Sparrow.
Oh, the Crimson Sparrow.
Crimson Sparrow, yeah. Excuse me.
Well, there's the red dot, the red chair,
the red door.
We've got lots of reds.
Lots of reds.
Yes, there's the red door.
Lots of reds in Hudson.
I'm not quite sure what they do. Some rehabilitation on Columbia Street.
Oh, and there's a Red Chair also?
Red Chair is an antique store.
Oh.
In the 600 block of Warren Street. And there's also the Red Chopstick. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Don't leave that out.
And the Red Dot.
Right, right.
I think we need a blue something.
Well, you could start a trend. So all you have to do is open a business.
Could start a a store called Blue, and it could be about blues music.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
What an enterprising young man.
Right, right.
Okay,
we also, just getting back to the films for a second, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Tell us
we have
more.
We have another evening film at the Crandall called Brooklyn, which has also been very, very well received at film festivals. It stars, I'm going to mispronounce her name. It's an Irish name, Sarawise Ronan, the film is supposed to be very, very good, and we're very happy to have that as well.
It's called Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oh, it's about it's.
It's about a it's about an Irish, young woman emigrant, I guess, who comes to the United States. She has an she has a boyfriend back in Ireland, and she has a boyfriend here, and she has to eventually choose between them, and it's. But it's more, it involves choosing between the two societies and the two countries.
It's based on a novel by, I can't ever pronounce his name either, Colm Tóibín.
Yes, yes.
What else? Any other films we should know about?
Well, I have a thick sheaf here of films you should know about. Let me see if I can find.
you have special films for children.
We have several programs for children. We have a really interesting 3-hour film called Hazardous Light about the roots of American film noir in German Expressionism between the wars, and how a lot of the especially the German Jewish refugee directors started that movement when they came to the United States. That's a quite fascinating movie, which is not come out at all and been barely shown. I don't know if we have the premiere or not, but we might.
And do you have a film script workshop of some sort, don't you?
Yeah, we have a film writing workshop that Scott Cohen teaches every year, and there's going to be one in Hudson and one in Chatham. And we also have a nice film, an interesting movie about the video freaks, if you remember from the 60s.
I do remember the video freaks.
Well, it's a fascinating story. Apparently, they were hired by CBS. There was a kind of maverick producer at CBS who decided that all CBS, the series that CBS was showing were completely out of touch with what was going on in the country. So he wanted to have something, wanted to get in touch with, what was going on in the streets. He hired a bunch of media, sort of movement, anti-war movement media people, gave them one of the first camcorders, and then a brand new Sony camcorder, which had hardly been used, and they went out and they shot film, and they were going to edit it into a, they have some amazing footage in the film, some of it of Abbie Hoffman, some of it of Fred Hampton, right before he was shot in Chicago. They edited it into a form, showed it to CBS, and of course CBS refused to show it and fired the producer who had commissioned it. And
typical.
But they shot all sorts of footage, some of it which they had to steal back from CBS, and they edited it into. And recently, it's been edited into a feature-length film. And it's quite fascinating. And of course, some of the people in the area still live here. So we have Perry Teasdale, who publishes the Columbia paper.
Right,
was one of them.
That's right. I remember them as being in Woodstock.
Well, they started in Woodstock, shooting the Woodstock Film Woodstock Music Festival. They ended up in Lanesboro, and they started a pirate TV station there. Is it Lanesboro, Lanesville? I don't know, something like that.
I think it's Lanesboro.
And we're coupling that with a retrospective of the work of Jane Aaron, who was a very well-known animator, did a lot of work for Sesame Street, shot a lot of her animation up here, has a brother, Peter Aaron, who lives in Hudson.
Oh, yes.
And she, unfortunately...
Which Peter Aaron?
There's more than one.
Yes, there's Peter Aaron, the photographer.
It's Peter Aaron, the photographer.
And there's Peter Aaron, the music person.
It's Peter Aaron, the photographer. And she passed away a few months ago, and we're doing a retrospective of her work. And her husband was Skip Blumberg, who was also in the Video Freaks, and he'll be here. He'll be there to talk about the film as well. And that's, I think that's going to be in, sometime. I think it's noon on Saturday, the 24th.
So, are there any other local aspects to the festival?
Well, we have a lot of local shorts this year, and they're very good, as opposed to most of the shorts that we get in, you know, we've gotten in the past.
Didn't you have a contest for high school students?
We did, and we still do that. We did it this year. As far as I know, those films are not showing, but these shorts are kind of mind-blowing, you know, and they're all playing in Hudson.
How short is does a short have to be to be...
To be a short.
To be a short.
Well, you know, they range from something
How
like...
How short is she?
Well, they can range from anything from 4 minutes to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Not so shorts.
Not so short shorts. Well, I just have to say this, that I was... I read the obituary of Yogi Berra.
Mm-hmm.
And this just shows you the influence of film in people's lives. It claimed that it was the story of how Yogi Berra got his name.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was a kid, lived in Brooklyn, I think, in an Italian neighborhood with, you know, and all the kids would go to the movies on Saturday afternoon. And they saw some newsreel or something that showed a yogi sitting on the ground with his legs crossed, and they said, "Oh, you look just like that." And so from that point on, they called him Yogi Berra.
Interesting. Well,
what's his real name?
Heavens, I don't think
Does
I know.
Anyone know?
I don't think anyone knows.
It's just Yogi.
Just Yogi.
Wow.
Probably something like Elmer. Apologies to all the Elmers in the listening.
Well, it would have to be the Italian version of Elmer.
True.
I think.
True.
Anyway.
Maybe it's Tom.
Tom.
I don't know. I just thought of Tom DiPietro. I don't know.
Oh.
Just came to my mind.
Our co-host, Tom DiPietro, in case you might miss him when you're here, is on political leave. He's running for office.
By the way, I managed to forget, actually, one of the most interesting films, and I think one of the films that will appeal most to people living in Hudson, which is Laurie Anderson's short called Heart of a Dog, which we're showing twice, once in the Crandall and once in Hudson.
Hmm.
And we're trying to get her to do your show. So,
great.
I hope she agrees to do that. It's a very interesting sort of experimental film, partly about her dog, Lola Belle, who was taught to play the piano.
Wow.
And also passed away recently. And some of it is about Lou Reed, her husband, her late husband.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is about, her thinking about various life issues, edited in an extremely interesting and creative way, which you would expect from her. So... I think that's, you know, it's a great film to show in Hudson, and we're very happy to have that.
Great. We're happy to have it, too.
I would have shot myself if I'd left and forgotten to mention it.
This is Laurie Anderson, the performer.
Yes, exactly.
She's a musician.
No, it's
really,
Laurie Anderson. It's Laurie Anderson, the ice cream set. No, it's no, it's Laurie Anderson, the artist, performer, musician,
right.
Et cetera.
I wanted to make sure that for the younger generation sitting here.
Oh, okay. You know who Laurie Anderson is, I presume.
Right? No, I don't.
You don't. Oh, boy.
No.
Okay.
Younger generation.
Well, hopefully you'll go to the movie and you'll be introduced to her.
Yeah.
I saw her perform once in a smaller venue on New York City's Upper West Side, and I can't think of the name of it. It was quite something.
Well, I think she has a show up now at the Armory in New York.
Ah. Well, I'm excited about the film festival this year. I think it's sounding really great. I mean, not that it hasn't been great in the past, but there's so many films that sound like one should not miss them.
Well, I mean, it's just a great opportunity to see what's going on film-wise around the world,
right.
You know, sort of right in your own backyard. You don't have to go to New York to see them. You don't have to go to Albany or Boston. You know, they're right here, and there are films from all over.
And are you? It sounds to me like you're showing more films in Hudson than you did last year.
We are. We have a better program this year. Last year, it wasn't, I would say, it was not enormously well attended.
Right. I went to a couple and felt
right.
the same way.
So we're hoping that more people will come this year and the films are better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, there's no reason why the Laurie Anderson film shouldn't be sold out. I mean, it's a great movie. And,
right.
I mean, A.O. Scott of the New York Times singled it out as one of the most interesting films he saw, I think, at Venice, one of the film festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a terrific movie, and I hope people come to see it.
What is the ratio between documentaries and fiction?
Well, it just varies from year to year. I mean, all of this varies from year to year. I mean, the ratio of American films to foreign films, the
mm-hmm.
ratio of documentaries to feature films. It just depends on what's out there, and a lot of it, you know, it's very changeable year after year, you know, year by year.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, and also the film, you know, years vary in terms of the quality of the films across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You have good years and bad years. I mean, it's rare that you have a run of three or four years where the films are consistently good. I mean, it just depends on what's there.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we have more I would say we have more documentaries this year than we usually
mm-hmm.
do. And that's also, you know, probably because there are some really good documentaries out this year.
I thought the films that were shown in Hudson were more heavier on the documentary side. Not that that's a bad thing, but that isn't always of great interest to people. Or
well,
maybe it's because they don't hear about them as much.
Well, we have a bunch of features this year in Hudson. I mean, we have a film. We have a feature called Louder Than Bombs by a Scandinavian director. Which has an amazing cast of, I will tell you in a moment. I can find it in this, you know, I should be able
Louder
to.
Louder Than Bombs.
Yeah, I should be able
Louder
to
Than Bombs.
This. Okay, it's got Isabel Huppert,
mm-hmm.
who plays a foreign correspondent who's killed in a war. Jesse Eisenberg, Gabriel Byrne, and Amy Ryan, and it played the Cannes Film Festival, among others. And that's very interesting. But we have a bunch of features this year in Hudson. In fact,
great.
More features than documentaries.
Well, that might bring people. I mean, it'll be a different audience.
I found last year that despite the fact that we did a lot of advertising, we did your show and there were articles about us in all the newspapers. Well,
mm-hmm.
the one newspaper. a lot of people just didn't know about it. We put posters up, and I don't know what it is, but people just didn't know about it.
I found that peculiar too. I thought the advertising started a little late,
mm-hmm.
To get to people, and the social media is the place these days, I guess.
Right.
But we think radio is the place too.
Well,
radio is the place.
And
I hope so, because it's easier than you know, dragging people out of their houses by their collars, you know, forcing them to go at gunpoint.
That's right. Well, yes, certainly. But they tell us that our listenership is up here at WGXC, and I said that to a friend today, and she said, "How do you know that?" I said, "I don't. It's just what people tell me." So, anyway, Peter, thank you so much for coming. You're an annual visitor.
Right,
I think this is your at least third year,
maybe fourth. I don't
maybe.
Know. I can't remember. But thank you for asking me. I mean, it's great to be able to do this show, and I hope I hope your listenership is increasing, that people will listen to this program and go to the festival.
And again, the anybody can find the website easily, but it's filmcolumbia.org.
Right.
But if you put in Chatham Film Festival, you'd find it too.
You'll find it. Yeah, it's hard to miss it.
Yeah. And thank you for coming to Hudson.
I come to Hudson all the time. I think last weekend I was here four separate times.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, Hudson is the happening town here.
It is.
Oh, it's happening.
Sometimes it's too happening, I think, you know. But, yeah, we're getting a lot of attention these days.
I know. Well, enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, you know, I know. Exactly. It makes me a little nervous. We'll be overrun.
Well, you know, in 5 years, people will be going elsewhere, and they'll be calling it the new, whatever they're going, they'll be calling the new Hudson.
The new Hudson. All I know is you cannot, it's hard to find a parking spot on Warren Street. And that's a good thing.
Well, yeah. It depends. It's a good thing if you're walking.
But, it's an indication, I should say, that it's a busy place.
It is. Well, it's great in one way, but, you know, Saturday night, it's like trying to park in New York City.
I know. Well, people are don't want to go off Warren Street if that's where the action is that they're involved.
Well, but if you
in.
Go try to park on the side streets, those are all congested.
But there
well.
Are, there's a huge municipal lot behind. It's in the 300 block. If you go to the Opera House, and there's on the opposite side of the street, there's a ramp that goes down to Columbia Street. There's a big lot there.
Well, that's good to know.
That people seem to ignore.